That's one. The second is that it is encouraging to be around people who are headed the same direction. Isn't it? Come on. I've been the king of hobbies over, and I've just done so many hobbies, and this is what I've found. If I want to get better at a particular hobby, like I took up golf a few years ago. I'd never really played golf, but I hooked up with one of the best golfers you'll ever meet, Mr. Ronnie Parton. He's an awesome man. And I got to hang around. He was so encouraging. I was terrible at first. I'm probably terrible now because I haven't played, but there's no invites, Ronnie. I don't know if the deal is. No. I'm picking. He knows I've been building the house. Thank God that's done. But I got to hang around somebody that helped show me. Let me just encourage you. Get around some people that it can encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Restart was great. And we in our small groups, we had over 350 people participate and averaged over 300 every week. Can we clap for that? Because that's awesome. And here's another cool statistic. Almost 25% of the people who were in small groups don't regularly attend church anywhere. Isn't that awesome? Man, that's our heart, to reach people and build lives. And today, I know that when you came in, you saw the food table out front, and you saw the Restart banner, and Live the Adventure, and here's why all of that is out. It's because we are continuing with groups for 4 more weeks, and they are going to correspond directly with each of the messages that you'll hear for the next 4 weeks, so you don't want to miss that. You want to get plugged into a group if you haven't been plugged into a group. It's a great time to get into a group. Honestly, I feel like I say it every week. I probably don't, but here's why groups are so important. And it is because life happens in circles, not rows. This is good and this is encouraging, but when you get in a group and you say, okay, I'm going to do this for real, and you take the wall, you let it come down, you take the mask off and you say, this is what I'm going through, you'll find other people will do the same. And it's life transforming. Get into a group. And in fact, we have a way to make it easier than ever before for you to be able to connect with a group. So you can take out your smartphones. Everybody here pretty much has them out anyway. And look what we have. Lo and behold, we just have today, we started and made live our new app. So check it out. It's actually really pretty awesome. Now, so if you get an iPhone, you are blessed and favored because it works really well. Unfortunately, one of our beta versions on Android's App Store, you'll have to find COTK with the black and the white. Don't go to the COTK Lake Charles. It's the blue one. Go to the black and the white, and you can download that on either Android or iPhones. And here's what's cool about it, because when you click on it, one of the very first things that you'll see once it opens up, find a group. And when you click on that, it has every one of our groups that you can scroll through and you can find a group. It's never been easier. Here's my heart as a pastor. I want you to connect to God and connect to godly people. We talked in Restart all about you connecting to what God had for you and your identity and your purpose and your finances and your relationships after failure. I want you to connect with God through his word. The next 4 weeks is all about this, and it's foundational. I want you to know that the Bible is alive, it's real, it's powerful. In fact, look at what Jesus says in John 6:63. Can we turn there? And you can read actually in John 1:1-5. I'm not going to put it on the screen. It's parallels, really, John 1 parallels Genesis 1. And it says really from the beginning that Jesus was there. He was the Word. In John 6:63, it says this, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing." Human effort, I'm just going to say that again. This is what Jesus spoke, because that is pretty profound and can be very controversial and inflammatory. Human effort accomplishes nothing. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. How terrible would it be for you to be at the end of your life recognizing that you were successful at the wrong thing and the thing that did not matter? I want you to be successful at that which truly does matter. I want you to be successful in the life and the purpose, the plan that God has for you. So let's read that verse again. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. That word spirit is a fairly rough translation from the Greek. And the Greek word is pneuma. And the best way to kind of explain pneuma is that spirit is the word that we use, but I don't think it carries the, it doesn't carry the connotation, necessarily even the denotation. It doesn't carry the full meaning as well as an explanatory version of the word breath. So if we read this, pneuma meaning breath or power, the very words I've spoken to you, they're breath, they're power. My prayer is that you seek God and that he breathes life on you. And Jesus says, my words to you, they're that spirit, they're that life, they're that breath, they're that power. Then we look in Hebrews 4, chapter 12. And let me just say, today's message is full of scripture. You should study it. And so y'all are also going to have to listen fast. Can y'all do that? Good. For the word of God is alive and powerful. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. God's word is alive, and it takes the flesh, the soulish, the mind part of us, and it sticks itself in between that and the truth that is spirit and spiritual. And man, my prayer for you is that you realize that God wants to do surgery on you, and that he'll speak to you, and he'll breathe on you, and something's going to stick inside of you, and it's going to be alive, and it'll transform your life if you let it. But you first got to get to the place where you recognize what this is, and that you have faith that God can speak to you right where you are, and that this book isn't just a dead document. It's not just stories of people who lived a long time ago, but it is alive today. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that this word is alive. And so I want to break the message into two parts. The first part is the more theological, philosophical aspect. It's really theological. That means the study of how God will work. And I want you to get three things. Here they are. Number one, faith activates the word. Faith activates the word. What does that mean? That just means when you believe that God can speak to you, when you believe that the Bible is trustworthy, that the Bible is real, it's not fabricated, it's not fiction, and you have faith that God can speak to you, it'll make this thing come alive to you. I remember when I was in college, I had a real tumultuous season where I was in a genetics class with a very intelligent and published professor that hated Christians. He was a microbiologist, and he looked at the very, very tiny, tiny, small things and extrapolated from that and deduced that there was no God. And it was his personal pleasure to ridicule anybody who thought that there might actually be a God. And on the first day of class, he's like, is anybody here adhere to intelligent design, the creation? I'm in the front row. Me and my buddy raised my hands, and he just for the whole semester ridiculed us. And those seeds of doubt began to take root in my soul as to whether God was real and whether this word was real, whether the Bible was true or not. And so I began on a course of study. I studied both sides. I studied everything that the scientific world said in contradiction to the Bible. And I studied the Bible. And I did it with as open as a mind as I possibly could, because I was at the point of going, okay, either this is real, and what my professor is saying is a lie, or what my professor is saying is the lie, and this is real. I studied everything I could on both sides of the argument, and I came to a very clear conclusion that the Bible can be trusted, that the Bible is real, that it's not a collection of crazy writings by people whose sanity was questionable. The fact is, the Bible is real, and I encourage you to put it to the test. And you, if you have seeds of doubt, then you start studying. Don't be lazy. I love y'all. Don't be lazy and say, well, I don't know if that thing's for real. Then why don't you find out if it is or isn't? And you're going to have to do two things. You're going to have to read it, and you're going to have to try and pick it apart. Do it. It can take your testing, I promise. Try it. And then you're going to have to go to the Bible. Yes, you'll go here, but you'll go to the other side. And then start reading about everything that anybody's ever written about why this thing can't be trusted, and put them to the test. And guess what you're going to find? the Bible is true. And when you get to the place where you believe it, it activates it. It makes it alive. It makes it alive. Faith activates the word. Hebrews 4:2 says this, "For we have also had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them." Here's why. "Because those who heard didn't combine it with faith." It is possible for you this morning to read the Bible, to read the scriptures on the screen, to follow along and go, eh, and get nothing out of it. Maybe you should begin to really ask yourself, do I really believe this? Do I have to? And if you don't beat yourself up. If you go, I want to, then you start seeking God, because faith activates the word. I remember my youth pastor when I was 14, a little background on me, at 8 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't have a full understanding of what that meant, but I knew that God loved me, and I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I had done things that were an offense to God, and at 8 years old, like, what can you actually do? But I knew it. I knew the condition of my heart, and I recognized that Jesus was the Son of God, and he came as the sacrifice for my sin, and I surrendered my life to him. It's the moment of conversion. It's the moment of salvation. It's when I gave my life to the Lord. And at 14, my youth pastor challenged the whole youth group to begin reading the Bible. You know, and my parents made me read the Bible, so I had read it before. But for the first time, I went, you know what? I think I'm going to read it for me. And he said, we're going to read, I think it was either Go Eat Popcorn or General Electric Power Company. Either way, it was Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. We were going to read four books of the New Testament. And I remember sitting down and going, okay, I remember where I was. I remember opening the Bible. I actually still have the Bible today, but it's kind of falling apart. I didn't bring it. I brought another Bible that I study from. And I remember reading Galatians. And before I sat down, I'd made the determination that it could be trusted and that I was going to seek God. And I believed that God would speak to me. And by the time I got to verse 10 in Galatians, my heart had been prepared. I believed that what I was reading was for me. And I believed that it was real. And this is what I stumbled upon in chapter 1 in verse 10. "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were striving to please men, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ." And something happened. My eyes were open. And it's the second point. Here it is. Revelation activates faith. I sat down with Galatians for the first time in my life, the Bible, going, God, you can speak to me through this. So I'm going to ask you to speak to me. And by verse 10, he had put his finger in my heart and and said, really, who are you really trying to please? Are you trying to please people or are you trying to please me? And it rocked my world. And at 14 years old, I had a revelation that altered my life. And at that moment, I had that revelation of, wait a minute, God in his wisdom was able to do two things. The first one was point out that I was really just concerned about pleasing other people. And the other was that he had a greater call on my life. But here's the thing, because I sat down with faith, because when you get the Bible, I want you to believe it. You got to believe it. You got to do, if you have to do the research, do the research. But you sit that you believe, Lord, you can speak to me. When you read it, revelation will come. Your eyes will be open. And when you have revelation, it activates your faith. So the two things were, God, I really have been trying to please other people and myself, but you want me to please you. And then at the same time that God spoke to me, it was both corrective and encouraging. Because I knew in that moment that God had a purpose and a plan for my life. And it shaped who I was, and it shaped the destiny of my life. And in part, it affected you, because you're here today and you never would have been had not one 14-year-old kid picked up a Bible believing that God could speak, because faith activates the word. And when you read, you will get revelation. Do I get revelation every time I read it? No. You may have to read 5 times, 15 times, 50 times, but if you trust God and you seek him, God will highlight passages of scripture that jump off of the page and into your heart. Revelation activates faith. We're not going to read it for the sake of time, but in Luke chapter 1, we see the story of Mary when the angel shows up in her bedroom at night and nobody's around and speaks to her and tells her, you are going to give birth to the King of Kings, to the Savior of the world. And she says, how in the world can that happen? And then the angel begins to speak to her, God is with you. He sees you. And she believed it. She received it. And there was a revelation that took place. And she ultimately, as we know, gave birth to Jesus. The third thing I want you to get is meditation activates revelation. We should meditate on God's word. What does that mean? Very simple. When you read slowly. Slow down. Is our life fast-paced? Is the culture that we live in a fast-paced culture? Yeah, absolutely. It's totally a fast-paced culture. Come on, let's just be honest. Most of y'all probably already downloaded that app. Yeah, don't we live a distracted life? A pastor said the app. What's he talking about now? I don't know. Where's the wheel of... We need to intentionally slow down. We should spend time reading the Bible. Spend time pondering it. Lord, what are you saying? And then do it together. One of the coolest things that my wife and I have been doing is going through 1 Samuel. And as we've separately and individually studied, we'll come back together and you know, Lisa will be, I'm on chapter 15. I'm like, I'm on chapter 21. Like, what are you getting? And she'll, oh man, look at this. And it's really cool. When we meditate, there's revelation that takes place. Even in my personal study this morning, realizing that David, man, that guy was betrayed multiple times twice by two whole cities that turned him over to the guy that was trying to kill him. And yet here he is in the lineage of Jesus and the greatest king that Israel ever knew. And the revelation for me was, don't be surprised when people do you wrong. They did it to Jesus, they did it to his disciples, they did it to David, they'll do it to me. And that was revelation for me this morning. But it never happens outside of first having faith. Lord, I believe you can speak to me and I believe that this is true. That revelation will activate that faith. You see how it's kind of circular? When you get it, you're like, wow, you know, Galatians 1:10 really did alter the course of my life. But meditation brings revelation. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. We see in verses 7 and 8, Joshua, who was about to lead an entire nation into the place that God had promised them. It says, be strong and very courageous. God is speaking. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. And look at verse 8. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Listen, we love the last portion of that scripture, man, because everybody here wants to succeed at what they do, correct? I mean, nobody's like, sign me up for failure. I love falling flat on my face. That's the best. Nobody does that that's healthy. Only really weird, messed up people enjoy failure because everybody wants to succeed. When you get to the place where your life is built on God's word, everything you put your hand to will succeed. Now, I want you to also understand that success may not look like what the world says is success, but in the eyes of God, it will be success. Even if you spend your whole life plowing up a field in people's hearts that you never see any fruit come from that, you can know that God's at work. And though you may see nothing in the physical because you've built your life on God's word, it's a foundation that will last. In my recent trip to Panama, I heard the story of the founding of missions in the nation of Panama. And it was founded by one man who, at the end of his life, after his wife had died and his children had grown up and moved away, at 64 years old, he moved to Panama to be a missionary. And for 18 years, he toiled in the middle of, in central Panama, in a town called Frijoles. For 18 years, he was ridiculed. Kids threw rocks at him. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him, even though they took his food and his benevolence. And he died not having a single convert. But on his deathbed, a new missionary that had just come to Panama was summoned because the missionary who had been there for 18 years was dying and had asked for somebody to pray for him. I remember he had no converts. So they found the brand new missionary that had arrived in Panama the day before, and he goes and prays for the old man, and he passes away in his presence. And this new missionary, it's the Edwards family. They actually ended up moving two frijoles to the very mission where Latham, the missionary, had seen no harvest. 18 years of toiling. And within just a few years, they had seen 40,000 people give their life to Christ. In the economy of God, who was greater? Latham, who never saw a single convert, or the Edwards, who saw 40,000 in just a handful of years? Success in the kingdom of God is different than success in the world. But whatever you put your hand to, if your foundation is built on God's word, you will succeed. It may not look like what the world says is success, but in the kingdom of God, it's a tremendous success because we are called to be planters. That's why everything that we do at our church is reaching people, building lives. Building lives on what? Building lives on this. On this is the foundation stone of our life, that we live by it. Faith activates the word. Revelation activates faith. Meditation, study, seeking God activates revelation. The next thing, a life built on God's word. Here's the practical aspects, but first I want to look at Matthew 7:24. Here's what it says. It says it in the Message. This is a paraphrase. So this is Eugene Peterson's version of it. You actually have the scripture in your notes as it is, not in the Message, though it says it's in the NIV. It says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Do you know who's saying this? It's Jesus. They're not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They're foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. My job for the next 4 weeks and really overall as a pastor is to work those words into your life. What words? The words of Jesus, God's word to us in the Bible. I want for the next four weeks to work these words into your life so that they become a foundation stone so that you can see the last part, that you are fixed to the rock. Because let me tell you right now, we live in a messed up and broken world. The floods are coming, the wind's coming, the rain's coming, the tornado's coming. And if you don't have a secure foundation, you're gonna get washed away. I don't wanna see anybody washed away where they feel like they're just dying even though they're alive, and every day they wake up and it feels like another day of the walking dead. We can have life. Jesus says, John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Even in difficult and hard circumstances, we can have a great life. Paul and Silas in jail were singing praises to God. How does that happen? Because they knew the truth of God's word. They knew what he had spoken about, who they were, where they were, and what he had in store for them. And they would, I can do that. Let's live that out. It's inspirational, isn't it? I want to get to the practical. So practically, what must we do to make this a foundation stone in our life? Because the storm's coming. You know, when Lisa and I were, we were younger. Christopher was probably my oldest, who's now 13, was probably a year. And one night we're sitting on the love seat in our house in Broussard. I was on staff at Our Savior's Church there as a children's pastor, and Lisa had been an X-ray tech at Lourdes and was taking care of Christopher now. And we're talking, and all of a sudden, like, she can't talk correctly. Like, she starts slurring her speech, and part of her face just begins to droop. And then I see tears start streaming down her eyes because I can tell she's trying to communicate but having real difficulty doing it. And it kind of freaks me out. So I go get Christopher. I get him in his car seat. I put it in the truck. I get Lisa and help her into the truck. And we go to the hospital. and she stayed in the hospital for 3 days, and they came to the conclusion that she had had a stroke. She'd had a small hole in her heart, an atrial septal defect, and it had clogged with clotted blood, and it threw that clot into her brain, and she had a small seizure, which was scary enough in and of itself because they were talking potential surgery. And, you know, we were young with our first kid, and they told her that even with surgery, they would say that she should never have children ever again. It was a pretty big storm, and it was really scary for a young married couple. And God spoke to us in that, and he told us that we should never be afraid. It's Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord." And that has been a foundation stone of my life, and that word came up, "Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord." And we didn't go around telling everybody. There was no Facebook. Even if there had been, we wouldn't have posted it there, because we knew what God had said on the matter. And it was, regardless of what other people might say, regardless of what the doctors said, who said, "You're probably going to need heart surgery. You should never have kids again. And then it was, you may need to be on blood thinning medicine for the rest of your life." It was a pretty severe diagnosis. And we just knew what God had spoken to us. And even though the storm was blowing and it was coming and the flood waters were rising, we were standing on the truth that God was with us and that we had nothing to be afraid of. And we just believed that God would totally and completely heal her. And he did. And today we have 4 kids. And those doctors were wrong. And it's because we stood on the word of God. So here's what we have to do. Here's the practical. I so want you to get the practical. Listen, I want you to have faith. I want you to have faith. And because, man, it activates the word of God. And I want you to get revelation because it's life-altering and it builds your faith. And I want you to meditate because it activates revelation. It's this whole circular thing. But here's the practical. Because you may be saying, how do I even do that? Here it is, 3 things. Number one, I must accept its authority. I'll be honest, a lot of people have trouble with this. I just don't know if I can accept its authority. Hey, I can't even understand it. Let me just say that. I've been studying the Bible for years. I may not understand everything in it. My understanding has grown because I've sought God and read the Bible. But guess what? A lot of y'all don't understand how your car actually works, but you keep driving, right? Isn't it true? As you seek God, you'll understand more and more. But a lot of people, I can't understand. So they don't even accept it at all as authority in their life because they feel like they can't understand. Listen, you may not understand digestion, but you keep eating, don't you? I've got to accept its authority. This is the authority that I must live my life by. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, "We thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." You're at church. You're saying, "Man, I want to see God do work in me." Here's where it begins: accepting his word as the authority for your life. Accept it as the authority for your life. "Lord, I believe what you say. I'm going to believe it. And more than that, I'm going to give you authority in my life." Many people don't want to do that because they're fearful of, you know, the Bible is just full, a book full of a bunch of don'ts. Read it and you'll find that it's not. I've read it from cover to cover many times. You know what I've found? That God is a gracious, loving, and good God. He has a purpose and a plan for my life, and I should abide by this and do what it says because God is the creator and the designer of humanity, and he knows me intimately. And so often people look at the Ten Commandments and go, "This is just a bunch of don'ts." Wow. It's there to provide safety for us. I remember In December 2015, I went on a backpacking trip, my cousins and I, my 2 cousins, to Big Bend National Park, did 52 miles, and the pinnacle of the whole trip, the highlight of it, was standing on the top of the Chisos Mountains, 8,000 feet high, overlooking a plain that was just a few hundred feet above sea level, so it's an impressive view, and there's a 4,000-foot vertical drop that you can stand on the edge and look down. But as I walked around, and I used to be really afraid of heights, and then I overcame my fear. Enough mountain biking, enough backpacking, enough mountain climbing. I'm not really afraid of heights. I do have a respect for heights. You better. And I'm walking along the edge, and my cousins are both like, man, you might want to back up. And I'm like, oh, it's really beautiful, though. It's 4,000 feet straight down. And then I walk over along the cliff, and it kind of turns, and there's a little portion jutting out that's, you know, maybe as wide as those steps, maybe a little bit wider, maybe 8 to 10 inches wider, and it sticks out maybe 5 feet. And it's about 8 feet down from the ledge. And it looks like people have, like, gone down there. So I'm like, if they did it, the people that I don't know, that maybe there's boot marks there, I can't tell. I can do that. And so both my cousins protest that I should even consider going down to this thing. And I was like, bunch of sissies. Let me show you what it's like. I'm not afraid of heights. And so I slide down this angle that's about like this and land on that little ledge about 8 feet above the rim. And it's 4,000 feet down on either side. And the guy who's not really afraid of heights, something happened. My body completely rebelled, and I felt like a cat stuck on a tree. Like, I couldn't breathe. I mean, I was starting to panic, and I just don't panic. And my cousin, who's a little bit older than me, he looked at me, and he's like, he saw what was going on. He's like, don't freak out. It's going to be all right. Calm down. It's going to be okay. And I had to breathe, they made the little human chain, and they pulled me up, and I realized how stupid I had been. But you know, if there had been steps down to that little ledge, and if that little ledge had really strong and secure a banister, a railing around it, would have been a great viewpoint. But because there was no banister, no railing around it, I freaked out when I got there because I realized the danger that I was in. Do you realize that God's word and what he's lined out for us and how we should live is that railing? It is that safety net that keeps us from plunging into the dangers of sin. Because let me tell you, sin is danger. The Bible's very clear. The wages of sin is death. Many of us, I would imagine all of us, realize that. There's something worse than not getting what you want. It's getting what you want and then realizing you made a terrible mistake. Accept this as your authority. On the front side, you may say, I don't like that at all. But on the back side, you'll be full of joy. On the front side of sin, it seems like it's the best thing in the world. But in the end, it's a bitter pill of death. That's why marriages die. That's why dreams die. That's why people die. Here's my heart for you. Accept its authority. It is the word of God. The second thing, I must assimilate its truth. I must assimilate its truth. That means every part of me takes the truth of God's word and brings it into my life. It's assimilated. You'll never assimilate the truth of God's word if you're not reading it. So what should we do? Here's three practical things. How do we assimilate that truth? By listening to God's word. Listen to God's word. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Listen to God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. I think you're here because you want to build your faith, right? Y'all here because you want to build your faith? Yeah, you want to believe God. Faith comes by hearing, but not just hearing anything, hearing God's word. Read it, study it. I'm so grateful for parents that prioritized church. It was never an option. I mean, we were crazy avid hunters and fishermen, big time. Obsessively so. And we would go to church, depending on what season it was, we would go to church in camo. Now, I grew up in Jennings, north of Jennings, out in the country, and that was acceptable fare. It's totally acceptable here. In fact, if you come in camo, I'm going to be like, where's the invitation? But it was a non-negotiable. We'd go to the blind, and we'd get out early so that we could go to church. Or we'd go fishing after we got done with church. Why am I grateful for that? Because it prioritized the place of hearing God's word. I don't want you here to build a great church. I want you here to build you so that your life is built not on an experience, but it's built on God's word. And there is encouragement when you come together. And there is power when you say, Lord, I'm going to trust your word and what you say. Listen to God's word. The next thing, by reading God's word. Can I just say, you should read God's word like it's a meal. If we ate as often as we read God's word, would we look the same? Just a question. Or might we be a tad thinner? If I read the Bible, if I ate as much as I read the Bible, what would I look like? This should be our daily bread. In fact, Jesus says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I've got four simple things that they're not in your notes, but you can tag these on. Read God's word. Can I just encourage you, get a paper Bible. Study after study has proven that when you read with a paper book, your retention rate is substantially higher. There's something about turning the pages of a book. There's a tactile sensation. There's something about holding on to the rest of a book to realize that you're making progress. There's something about, get a paper Bible, and if you don't have one, we will give you one. Take that connection card and fill it out and put on there, I want a Bible. We'll get you a Bible this week. That's our commitment to you. We want you to have a Bible. There's nothing wrong with the app. I read from the app. I put it on in my vehicle and I can listen to it. I can listen. That's good. But there's something. See, that app, though, that's for everybody. When you have your Bible, it is yours. Get a paper Bible. The next one, set aside time. Set some time aside. I know where I go and how long I'm staying every day when I'm going to the place in my house where I'm seeking God. The third one is have a plan. Have a plan. On our website, you can find a reading plan. Get a plan of where you're reading, even if it's, I'm going to read 1 Samuel. My wife and I decided we're going to study 1 Samuel, so that's what we're doing. Have a plan. Under events on our webpage, you can go and click on the one-year Bible. You can read through the Bible in a year. Have a plan. And the fourth thing, don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. In other words, say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? Don't just read it, let the Bible read. Lord, what do you see? Your word is alive, show me. Listen to God's word, read God's word. Here's the next one, explore God's word. Explore God's word. Study it. The best way to do that is together. That's why I'm going to encourage everybody here, get in a group. Get in a group. It is not too late. In fact, we're starting our It Is Written groups this coming week. Plug into a group. In the foyer, you'll see tables where you can pick up a packet. In that packet has a DVD. You can actually even host a group. You say, well, I don't know anybody, but I know some people might want to do it. Great. In the packet, in that little bag, it's a DVD where I'll intro every message. They have also entered a devotional guide. Pick up a devotional guide so that you can go along. They correspond with each of the messages. It's so simple. I want to make it easy for you to connect with God through His Word and to connect with people who can encourage you. You got to explore the Bible. In fact, I'll go in depth in the fourth message series on what it means to really study the Bible. And then the last thing as we wrap up, and here's the main thrust, I must apply its principles. I must apply its principles. James 1:22, don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Here's my heart and prayer for you. That you know God has the story of your life waiting to be written by Him. I'm going to say it again because it's so profound. God has the story of your life waiting to be written by Him. But He gives you that discretion. He gives it to you to say, will you allow me to do that? My prayer is that you allow Him to write your story. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and God's dealing with you and you know it, my prayer is that this time is for you. Because God's word is alive. And even as we've read these scriptures, some of you sense that God is speaking to you, that your life shouldn't be built on the foundation of what you deem best for yourself, but that you trust God. Listen to me, that you trust God and you build your life on His word. That's my passion and my prayer for you, that you build your life on God's word. And for some of you today, He's calling out to you. He's crying out to you. And you can sense it on the inside that He's saying, come to me, trust me, follow me. I so want that for you. I so want that for you. And God wants that for you as well. That's why even now you can sense on the inside just God dealing with your heart and drawing you to Him. If you're here today and you know that this message was for you, that God's calling you to Him, that He's calling you to surrender yourself, to surrender your life to Him. It's a moment of conversion where you convert from living your life for yourself, you convert to living your life for Him. Today is the day, right now is the moment. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know that's me. I need to respond to the calling of God, even right now, just touching my heart. I choose to surrender to Him. I do that today. If that's you, I won't embarrass you, but I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody over here? Thank you. Thank you back here. Let's all pray together just out loud right where you are. Say, Dear God, I surrender to You. Thank You for Your love. Thank You that You forgive me for my sin. Thank You, Jesus, I'm made clean. I turn from all of that darkness. I turn to You. Make me new. In Jesus' name. Amen. Man, God is so good. May His word to you be the foundation stone of your life. May you live by it. I've had this Bible since 1999. I've rebound it once. It needs to be rebound again because it's falling apart. I've done a lot of stupid things, but every one of them's been in contradiction to this. And every blessing that I have in my life is because I've followed this. God's word is life and truth. I love you, and I want you to know best is yet to come. Follow Him. Love you guys. Pastor Josh.
Wow. That was a great message, was it not? Man, I'm excited for you guys. Just these next few weeks are going to be awesome. Just as we dig into God's word, the messages Pastor has prepared that we're going over, that we have all the small group stuff, they are great. I want to challenge you just to be in church these next few weeks as we go over and just dig into God's word. It's going to be a blast. We're about to take up our tithes and our offerings. So ushers and prayer team, want you guys go ahead and come on down. And as I do that, I want to remind you, Melody mentioned earlier, our connection cards. If you're here for the first time, man, thank you. You can take a moment, place those things in the offering basket when it comes by you. Also, if you have a prayer request, or as Pastor mentioned, if you want a Bible, place that in there and let us know that, hey, I need a Bible, I want to get baptized, whatever it is, you can do that on the connection card. Ushers, you guys can go ahead. If you are making a check, you can make it out to Church of the King. If you're giving a cash gift, there's an envelope in front of you for that purpose. You can also do it online, and you can also do it on the new app, too. So go ahead and check that out as well. A couple quick things while they're doing that to let you know about. First of all, following this service is Grow Step 1. It is a blast. We talk about salvation and baptism. It takes place in the theater room right behind us. And then two last things. One, get into a group. Get into a group. If you've not gotten into a group yet, you can hit the table on your way out, and they have a list of groups. Also, you find a list on the apps. And I missed, Daylight Savings Time. How do you guys remember next Sunday's Daylight Savings Time? Who already forgot and had no clue? Most of you. Okay. You're welcome in advance. Next Sunday starts Daylight Savings Time, which I hate because I lose my hour of sunlight in the morning. But that is next Sunday, Daylight Savings Time, so make sure you set your clocks ahead so you don't show up in the middle of Pastor's message, and we will see you next Sunday. Why don't we pray on our way out? Lord God, thank you. God, thank you so much for your word. God, I'm just in awe of what you have done and what you have spoken and what you have said through your word. And God, we thank you for it. And God, we look forward to these next few weeks of learning, of digging into your word and learning more about you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You guys have a great Sunday. We will see you next week.